listener production.
The creators of this podcast would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which it is recorded. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are the first storytellers of this land. We pay respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging, as well as any Indigenous people who may be listening today.
We are Two Guys, One Cup.
Everyone relax. This is Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
And my name is Charlie Clawson. And we're continuing our preview of each team leading into the 2024 season. But before we get to the teams for this week, Will, friend of the show, Alex Williams, who is a Giants supporter, one of the teams we'll be talking about this week, he sent me this clip, which one of my favourite bits of vision out of the Making Their Mark documentary was the Stephen Cornelio's trophy that he brought out at the start of the season, the one that was made of, was it stone, which you can't change, wood, which you can, no, stone, which you can't change, wood, which you can carve, and then glass, which you can see through or see the future or something like that. And
It was a thing of stone and wood and glass.
And glass. You know that band. I mean, we've played the clip. It's a, go check it out. I can't remember what episode it's in, but I do play the clip in one of our episodes. And it's just one of my favorite bits of, like, clearly someone's been to some kind of like leadership camp. You know, they've said, hey, man, you know what works really well is metaphor. When you're giving your season address, use metaphor. Well, it turns out that Cogs must have rubbed off on Adam Uze. Because check out this bit of news from down in Tigerland.
Be shocked driving down Punt Road this summer. A life-sized camel added to the Tigers' inner sanctum ahead of Adam Uze's first year. The theme running all pre-season built on the camel's ability to withstand extreme conditions. Fitness staff hoping it's the edge they need to get over the hump of missing finals.
I mean,
so what do you reckon of that metaphor? I mean, it's a good climate change metaphor. We are going to have to adapt and become more resilient. You know, we're going to be running out of water soon, and foodstuffs are probably going to be rare as well. So, I mean, if that's the point Uze is trying to make, I'm all for it.
I mean, do you think it is the point he's trying to make? Do you think he's making a broader pitch to inform the players about climate change and the effects it will have on people?
Well, I used to play hockey when I was a kid, junior hockey, for the Elsternwick Camels. That was our that was our mascot. Really? And I always thought it was
a camel's native to Elsternwick. Is that a?
I don't know why.
Would you often see camels along the streets of Elsternwick?
No, no, clearly not. But I guess as an animal, because I always thought it was a stupid mascot because they don't look particularly imposing. But then I guess if your brand is resilience, like they're good survivors. They can go weeks without water and food and stuff like that. They like to spit. They got a bit of aggro in them, but not the most inspiring of mascots. And particularly when the Tigers have such a iconic mascot, you know, like, wouldn't you want to lean into that Tiger mythology rather than West? I mean, because Tigers can be survivors as well, right? Like, they're incredible adaptive animals. They're fearsome. They have like claws and jaws and can go on water and land. Like, that's, you got the metaphor right there. Why are you bringing in this camel, man?
The most famous song about Tigers was written by a band called Survivor. I think it's.
It's true. It's interesting. Unless
why are you bringing in like a camel? Unless like the Richmond theme song was like my humps, my lovely lady humps, then there's no reason to get a camel down to the club.
Or unless it's some sponsorship thing like with the drive-thru, isn't it? Like a bottle shop, camel bottle shops or something like that.
Or it'd be like this, the cigarette company, the cigarette camel. I've just given Adam Uze some money to get some cigarette advertising back into sport.
I love that. The idea he just goes old school with it. It's like, we've gotten too soft, mate. We've got to be the Tigers of old. We've got to be, I want you, not only are we going to be sponsored by a major tobacco company, I want you smoking at three-quarter time, back like they used to. VBs and cigarettes at halftime.
I mean, it'd be great if they went back to the Tigers of old, absolutely, in that regard. You're just like, we got the boys on the cigarettes. Like, it's great. I mean, it is only pre-season, but some of the guys are up to a pack a day.
Yeah.
And these are numbers that were unprecedented.
Not only are they burning up the track, but they're burning up the change rooms because we've had quite a few little spot fires.
Whole place is on fire. Yeah. Nobody knows how to put out a cigarette anymore.
Oh, I love it. I'm all for it. In fact, I think each club, I don't know, I mean, I would love... Because you've got some old school coaches like Fags and Ross Lyon kicking about like that. Can you see, I mean, could you imagine a world in which Ross brings out like a puppet or some kind of like visual metaphor for the players?
I just, well, firstly, I love your idea, and I just want to think, do we want the, because this one looks like Adam Uzay could have made it himself. There's a real
camel.
Sense of,
yeah,
but there's a big sense of like paper mache about it, right? Because it's not a full camel. Like it's just like
no, it was
the
full
top
camel,
of a camel.
Let's just...
No, isn't it on top of like the...
Let's have a look. No, it's a full camel.
Oh, it's a sitting down. Yeah, okay, you're right. It's a full camel, but it's like lying down on the ground.
And
so
I disagree.
I thought it was
that's
like,
paper mache. That looks like Industrial Light and Magic have had a hand in that. They've built like an animatronic. That's a realistic looking camel.
I mean, if it's animatronic, then I'm back in.
It just yells out inspirational quotes.
If they've got some sort of robo camel on the sidelines, then I am here for it.
Yeah, I'd love that. Like its eyes glow red and it just bellows out yellow and black periodically at night.
I mean, what if, like, because it is a double humper, like it's a two hump camel.
Yep.
What if game one, Adam Uzay rides out on the mechanical camel? Like, you know, it like.
Or a real camel. And he. Why didn't they get a real camel for round one? Like, remember, was it North who got the elephant when they were like, back when they'd run around the boundary line get taking donations? So they bring out the camel. Round one.
Yeah.
Gather round. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Adelaide's close to the desert. Let's get a camel from Alice Springs, bring it down, and Uzay rides it around. Or you send off the greats. Did Jack Revolt and Trent Cotchin get to do a lap? If not, got some good news for you guys.
On the back of a camel.
We are previewing each team leading into season 2024. We're looking, doing our traditional thing of trying to remember who the coach and the captain is and the reigning best and fairest, and then ranking those teams in three bands, top six, middle six, bottom six. We have no idea what teams we've ranked or where they are. Couldn't honestly tell you. Have we even named a team in each band so far, you think?
I reckon I've named a team in each band, but I don't think that I've allocated my resources in any way that is measured out over the...
No.
I don't feel like I've had a lot of middle bands at this stage, which normally that's where you would like hide your gutless selections, but I feel like at the moment it's been a bit all or nothing.
Yeah, I agree. Like I feel like I've been playing it safe too. Like even when I'm naming top band or bottom band, I'm saying, oh, but towards the top or towards the bottom. So everything's middle for me. Mm. But this next team, Will, I'm very bullish on. It's the Giants.
Okay.
I got on the bandwagon big time. How can you not with that bloody club song? And they were like, what, one kick away from a grand final? And who knows what could have happened from there. We know who their coach is because he's got the biggest guns going around. It is, of course...
Adam Kingsley.
Kingsley, that's what I meant. Yeah, Adam Kingsley, yeah. Exactly what I was going to say. And their captain, now is it still Stephen Canelio or did after that?
Toby Green is definitely the one captain. Of them.
Yeah, no,
do
it'd be
they
Toby
have co-captains?
Green. Is it just captain? Oh, I don't know. Let's have a look at it.
But is he a co-captain at the Giants or is he the full-time? I know he's definitely
is the solo
one of the captains.
Captain. Okay. Uncle Toby.
Interesting.
Uncle Toby Green, full-time captain. And then it would be Lockie Neal levels of what's the word when you get disassociation, when it's like a discrepancy, if he was the All-Australian captain but was not in the leadership group at least at the Giants. Cogs had a good season though. Last year, I think relinquishing the captaincy actually worked out better for him. Less time thinking about trophies and metaphors and more time thinking about kicking footies. That's what I say.
Okay. So who won the Giants best and fairest?
Toby Green.
Because Toby Green had a great season, but like did he have a consistent – what's their method? Tell me how they vote for the Giants best and fairest before I – guess who won their best and fairest.
Well, an exciting news, Will. Last year was a new voting system. For the Giants.
I love it.
Where the Lion coaches rated their respective players after each game predetermined performance scale. And that scale was wood, glass, and stone.
Wouldn't that be great?
All Lion coaches then met to determine an overall rating for each player before submitting head coach Adam Kingsley, who allocated up to 6 votes for each player. Okay, so hang on, what's going on here?
Oh my God.
So there is a predetermined performance scale. So that's like, you know, like okay. everything we've discussed. One is role player, five is outstanding. But then the line
Yeah, but
coaches,
this feels like there's an individual predetermined performance scale. Like, I mean, this feels like a revolutionary new system. You're judging this, what this is sounding like is
or something.
You're judging Toby Green according to the standards of Toby Green, not Toby Green according to the standards of somebody who's not as good as Toby Green, which I personally like introducing this element into it, which is like an assessment of like where they're at. Because this is what you're talking about before, about the idea of like a midfielder who might get 30 touches. And you're like, well, yeah, but that midfielder gets 30 touches every week.
Yeah.
Did they actually do anything that is beyond, you know, what we expect from them in that role? So, okay, I like this. All right, I'm pretty into this.
So it starts from with the numbers that I'm looking at in the top 10. I think like this is closer to Brownlow voting. Well, not even double Brownlow voting numbers. So I think that six votes for each player was probably used to its fullest extent. There's none of that Hawthorne. Hey, if you play really well, we'll give you a bonus point as well. Looks like Adam Kingsley. No. Now, what do you feel about the coach having veto power? Because that's what it feels like. Because you've got the line coaches saying, well, this is the criteria for each of the players. And here's the who we think played to the best of the abilities, but then you hand it over to one more layer of scrutiny where Guns Kingsley can say, no, I don't know. I don't think that was a good game by Josh Kelly or Toby Green. I'm going to knock him down a few votes. It's ripe for corruption, Will, is what I'm saying. Like, I don't know.
What level is the corruption taking place?
Well, I don't know. Like, what's the benefit of – some players have, like, triggers in their contract, right? Like, a top 10 finish will guarantee you another year or a bonus, you know, payment on your contract. So if I was Guns Kingsley, I'd be having a quiet word to – I'd go to the list boss and say, who's on a trigger-based contract? What are the criteria? And then I would have a quiet word to that player and say, you know, you let old Guns wet his beak a little and maybe I'll sneak you into the top 10.
So you're suggesting that the senior coach of the football club might think this is a good opportunity to graft his own players and club out of money for his own.
Well, didn't he play at Port Adelaide? I mean, we know where he's come from. Like, it's not a bit of standover, not completely untoward.
Okay, so I think this is the stuff that's taken into account in this initial first step when we're determining, like the point, like what point you're expecting from the player. I think that you've got to take in not only this is this person's capacity or ability, but this is the dollar amount that we have attached to this capacity and like if you get a. Like, yeah, just to use like the old 10 scale, right? If you get an 8 out of 10 game from a guy you're paying $1 million a year and you get an 8 out of 10 game for a guy you're paying $250,000 a year, you've actually got better value in that moment out of the person that you're paying $250,000. Like, they've paid well beyond their capabilities, whereas the other one's kind of just performed up to what it is that you expect them to. So I think financially, these are the meetings I want to be in when we're determining with the coaches, the behind-the-scenes players, like what the initial value of the player is.
Well, it would have been interesting coming out of Cogs' captaincy because he had such a shocking run with injury and form, right? Mm. And so with the knowledge that he is a potential Brownlow medal like level player, or he's also like a player who fell off the face of the earth. Like, what is the criteria for him? So prior to season 2023, it would be interesting to know where they rank Cogs in terms of his ceiling and his basement. And now, like, he's had a great season, so it's like, is he back in calculations, or do you still account for the fact that he had a tendency to go missing for a couple of years?
Yeah, it's interesting. I like this Giants system. Every time I hear something new about the Giants,
you like them.
I like them a little more.
Okay. So let's look at the top five. Who did you say came first? Did we say?
I would imagine Toby Green probably.
And you would imagine 100% correct. Now, equal second place, podium finish. Let's just say that their top five is all like the top five players you'd expect at that club, like probably the first five
Tom
players.
Tom Green.
Yep.
Lockie Whitfield.
Yep.
And
two more players.
who Stephen Canelio.
Yep. One more and to round out. Smooth Mover. If I said Smooth Mover, Rolls Royce. Father played for North, I believe. I'm not joking around when I say this. He
Josh
knows how to
someone
stand and deliver. Yes. Josh Kelly. Josh Kelly. So where would you rank them though? I'll give you a clue. There was a two equal second place finish for two of the players.
So Green and Canelio.
Oh, Will, it's like you know this club inside and out. That is 100% correct. Who came in fourth?
Lucky or Josh? Whitfield and then Kelly.
This is the thing about like the Giants is that's a fucking great top five.
It is, like, isn't it?
I mean, when that's really like
you're like they're all really good footballers at their best really good when players. They're all playing well, which this indicates they are. You can see why they were so successful because they are five very good footballers.
And that doesn't even like take into account like their good defenders like Taylor and Buckley and Iden and all that kind of stuff. Brent Daniels, Lucky Ash round out the top 10. So their voting system, because they don't go excessive with the votes. So Toby Green won it on 71 votes, only five votes clear. So one game clear of Canelio and Tom Green. I think that these guys, if they had a real slow start to last year and a real hot finish to the year. If they can carry that form into season 2024, top four, 100%, but flag is not out of the question. And I think that they're kind of in that right zone where they made it to it. You know, they were always thereabouts until 2019. Then they got to the grand final, got completely humiliated, shed some players, licked their wounds, changed their coach. And now it's like they've still got finals experience, heaps of finals experience, and grand final experience. And they know that they can almost beat the best team going around. So what's holding them back?
Bit of luck. I think that's all they need. I think if they have a bit of luck around, like, you know, particularly their forward line, Jesse Hogan's, you know, standing up for another full season, that sort of thing. Himmelberg stayed, didn't he, in the end?
Yep.
Like he did. So, yeah, like, you know, they've got, you'd have to think that they've got pretty much everything they need. They got a good ruckman. Baby Mummy came on and, like, you know, played well. Like, they don't have a lot of reasons that they
could. They can play anywhere. They don't have
not
that
afraid
interstate.
That's right.
So I reckon they're kind of, I'm going to not only am I going to say like top band, I'm going to say premiership. I'm going to say, I
premiership favourites. You're saying going into the season, favorites. They're premiership
I'm going to say more than Collingwood, more than Melbourne, more than Brisbane. I'm going to say, Brizzy, I'm going to say the Giants are going to win the flag. And that's my lock of the year.
Wow. Okay. You know what? I don't hate it. They're definitely in my top six. I would say they're probably definitely in my top four and then see what happens after that. But, yeah, no, one of the teams to beat for the season for sure. We are two guys, one car.
Okay, next on the list is their expansion cousins. They refer to them as like the sister club, the Gold Coast Suns. Mm. Big changes, obviously, at the end of last year. Dimmer Hardwick has come in as a new coach, highly publicised, five-year contract. Now, the captain, I believe, is Tuke Miller. Would you agree?
I would agree, unless they have a double captain and it's Witts and Miller.
And that sounds like an awesome like buddy cop TV series, Witts and Miller.
Witts and Miller.
Yeah. Okay, let's have a look. Yes, exactly right. Jared Witts and Tuke Miller, co-captains, which I think kind of good because Tuke was out for a lot of last year. Jared Witts is that physically imposing workhorse. Tuke is that kind of flashy, you know, probably the second best arms in the competition besides Adam Kingsley. That's a driven him nuts, right? When Adam Kingsley got hired, did Tuke go, shit, I got to do more curls, more hammer curls?
Yeah, he wasn't even injured last season. He was just in the gym.
Just curling. Non-stop curling. Every day I'm curling. So Dimmer comes in with his new toys, to quote him. It's like waking up on Christmas. He's got all these new toys to play with. I'm not sure. Like there's a lot of kind of excitement around the Suns, but I just not sure. I'm not sold yet that they are any different to the Suns we've seen in the last couple of years. Are you?
No, but I'm interested to see what, like, Dimmer, like, because if Dimmer can't get it to work, then I think, like, you know, let's just shut the joint down, right? Like, I feel like this should be a real sort of, like, you know, it's in the best interest of, like, Gold Coast that Hardwick can come in and he can, like, he's got enough young talent, he's got enough established talent, like, people who've got, like, he, if he's, you know, he is one of the great modern day coaches. I don't think that there is, you know, any way that you don't say that. He seems to, you know, be looking at the opportunity. But I do think if he can't make it work, then who can make it work?
Mm.
And I feel like at their best, there's a lot to like about the Gold Coast. You know, when they're up and going, they do look like a very good team, and they will have Miller back for the full season, and Rao found some form again, and Anderson's become an A-grader in the competition. And, you know, you start to look at their midfield, because Witz is a great ruckman. Like, you know, like, and particularly if you suddenly just have this, like, you know, power midfield around the feet of a really good ruckman.
Anderson, Rao, Miller is a pretty good midfield. And Bailey Humphrey, who's
Like a could be anything, like next Petrarca or like Dustin Martin style, like, Bont, you know, that, big sort of...
Big-bodied midfielder. Prototype modern midfielder, you might say.
Yeah, there's a lot to like about the Gold Coast. So I think I think they're a middle six, but I do feel like there's real potential that they could be top of the middle six and sneak into the finals.
I feel like it's all psychological with the Gold Coast. Like, they clearly have the talent, but it's that history of kind of teasing and disappointment that I feel like they have to get past it. They have to get over the fact that they are this tiny club that no one pays any attention to. So the question for me...
Yeah, go on.
Well, you know, when they had Stewie Jew there, he was king of the kids, right? They all loved him. They all re-signed because of Stewie Jew. Dimmer has that similar energy. When he was at the Tigers, he was king of the kids. They did it for him. They were telling jokes at three-quarter time. It's like, does Dimmer come in and immediately be like, hey, everyone has a stake in this club. We're building this together. If you want to tell jokes at three-quarter time, that's great, because we want to love our work. We want to be here all the time. Mm. Or does he have to come in with a bit of that old school Port Adelaide, Essendon, hard-ass Dimmer? You guys need to fucking get the basics correct and get a bit more tougher psychologically, and then, you know, we can have a bit of fun. Like,
no, because
how does he come into it?
That's what everybody ends up doing on the, like, I mean, I know Stewart Jew was a bit more fun, but I felt like he was always under, like, there was too much stress. Like, he was always under so much pressure that he couldn't be fully fun, right? Like, there was, you know, because that would have been, he didn't have the runs on the board to be able to lean into, you know, being fully fun. Whereas, like, Dimmer, he goes, look at my record. I've got a track record of being a fully fun guy. And it has led to...
I've never heard being fully fun, but it's my new favourite phrase. I love
but
it.
But he is fully fun. And I think, like, what does he bring? If Uze's bringing a camel to Richmond, is there, like, a version of what, like, to represent this fully fun Dimmer, like, what would he bring to the Gold Coast that, like, you know... Like, he's A, like, says something about the Gold Coast, but also, like, kind of brings that spirit of who he is to the...
Well, rather than like a metaphor for the season, what about if it's like a legitimate, tangible thing? Like, he buys a season pass to all the theme parks, like Wet n Wild, SeaWorld, Warner Brothers Movie World. And so it's kind of like, fellas, here's the deal. Like, you know, if we hit certain markers throughout the season, Sunday, you know, or day off, we go and we go to Wet n Wild, or we go to Warner Brothers Movie World, watch the Police Academy show or something like that. Like a family pass, but like on a club level.
I like it. I do think...
All parks pass.
An all parks pass. What if we make it the big four up on the Gold Coast? So when you think about... So what are they at the moment? It's Wet n Wild. It's
Wet n Wild, SeaWorld.
Movie World, SeaWorld. And then it's Metricon. So they're your big four, right? And they make, so you kind of pitch it as these are the four, like, amusements on the Gold Coast, right? The big four. Yeah. And you take the spirit of Wet n Wild, the spirit of, like, Movie World to the Gold Coast Suns. Like, instead of trying to fit the players into that infrastructure, you make the game day experience. We're always talking about how do we, Like it becomes a bit more theme parky in nature.
They don't run through a banner. Yeah. They come down like slide. A giant water slide.
A giant water slide. Spit out onto the ground.
Like in an inflatable tube.
Yes.
I think that
come on.
Is great.
Right?
I mean, that's what we've been saying, right? Like they have to embrace it in the same way Levi Casbolt embraced, you know, the so Candy look. Mansion becomes the new club headquarters.
Yeah.
So like, sure, they train at Metricon, but club headquarters is the Candy Mansion.
Yeah.
Even make Levi Casbolt the new Candyman. Like apparently he's out of the candy business. So Levi Casbolt, perfect replacement. Kind of looks similar, has that porn star kind of quality with the hair and the chest and all that kind of stuff. So they have like, that's where they do all the press conferences. That's where they do admin. And then of course, like family day, the Candy Mansion. Just don't let the kids go in the water if you don't want them to catch an STD.
Well, I think that it doubles as like, so basically Metricon, the ground, it becomes, or whatever it is now, it's because it's something else different now, isn't it?
Is it?
Oh, okay. Oh, I don't know. But anyway, we're Gold Coast Play. Like during Heritage the week, Bank. Heritage Bank, it operates as a theme park. Like there are things that are kind of half theme park, half. So you take a bit of the spirit of Movie World, but you give it an AFL flavor. Like you might get to see, I don't know, you get to see like
Like it's like there's a game where you eat grass. Like you've got to sort of go into this like, and can you eat as, like there's a video of Matt Rowell eating grass and you've got to try and eat as fast as like the virtual Matt Rowell or something like
and
that.
And then there's a video of Dimmer smoking grass and you have to see if you can smoke as much grass as Dimmer smokes.
Love it. I'd be there. All right. So who do you reckon won the best and fairest for the Suns?
Noah Anderson would be my guess.
Correct. Yeah, that would have been my guess as well. Let's look at how their voting works. It's conducted by Gold Coast's four-man match committee. Does that mean, is that from coaching the match committee?
I mean, the match committee. That is the coaches. I reckon the coach might be involved in the match committee.
An unlimited number of players can receive votes, but a player can only be given a maximum of 10 from each voting member, meaning they can get a maximum of 40 for a match. So if they have a dominant win where every player racks up 5 tackles and 20 plus possessions, they could be like a multi-million dollar point awarding.
Yeah, it seems like that's some real theme park dollars when it comes to votes. This is
Sun Sense,
You won $100.
And it's reflected in the voting because Noah Anderson took it out with 590 votes. That's like Swans level excessiveness. Who rounded up the top five? There's a couple of players we've already mentioned. Now, Tuke was injured for the most of the season.
So it's not going to be him. It's going to be Jared Witts played. He was injured a little bit, but he played a pretty good long season.
Came in fifth.
Matt Rowell, maybe?
Yep.
Yeah.
Came in third.
That's great. That's probably an even better season than I thought he had if he's come in third. That's good. How many votes did he get just out of interest in this ridiculous scale?
559. So, 31 short of his mate, Noah Anderson.
This is what the Gold Coast need to lean into though, right? Because like then like they excess. can look at other clubs and be like, oh, what, Bontempelli got 60 votes, did he? Oh, Noah Anderson got 9 million 700. Votes.
Two players came in second and fourth. I mean, one of them I feel like I should know, but I couldn't even tell you what position he played in. The other one I know is a defender and a very good defender at that.
Okay, so a Gold Coast Suns good defender.
Their best defender, big handlebar moustache.
Oh yes, what's his name? I can't remember what his name is, but I know exactly who you're talking
about.
Okay,
my clue is, you know, it's one of Melbourne's famous streets where they have the grand final parade. Do you know where they have the grand final parade up? What street? Starts on Swanston and then turns up
and then goes up. Yeah, see, I've got the wrong bit. His name's not
Ron Swanson. Well, just name a famous
Melbourne
street.
Despite the fact that he has.
Name one of Melbourne streets.
Greg Elizabeth. That hasn't helped me as a clue. Give me another clue.
I mean, it's just the most generic name.
Yeah, I'll just say who it is then. Sam Collins. Oh, yeah, Sam Collins. Yeah, that's right.
Then in fourth, I share the same first name as this guy.
Charlie Don't know why I said that as if I was asking.
If he was a songwriter,
yeah,
he might write you a slow love song or a
okay, Charlie.
Or if he was, Paul Kelly likes to write, these sort of long songs. How would you describe a song that's sort of like a long storytelling song?
Charlie Ballard. Charlie Ballard.
Right. Okay. Nice. Charlie Ballard. Where does Charlie? Oh, I mean, I'm curious. Charlie Ballard. I know who he is. What do you think he looks like, Will? Describe him.
I don't know. Whereas like Sam Collins, I absolutely could picture. But Charlie Ballard, does he have blonde hair?
Let's see.
Nope.
No. I'm looking right at him and it's like he could play for the Swans as far as I could tell.
I mean, the photo that first came up of him on my thing looks like he's playing for the Swans.
Okay, where does he even play? Australian rules footballer, doesn't say what position.
Backman.
He's a backman. Okay, so they've got a pretty good defence. Look, you know what? I don't know where to rank this. You said middle six, didn't you?
Middle six, top end of the middle six, possibly finals.
I mean, that's a big call, isn't it? Because they've never played finals. So it's almost like me going out on a limb by saying the Giants will win the grand final. You're almost going out on as big a limb to say that the Suns will make finals.
Well, I've already said that North Melbourne are going to make the middle six, which is a pretty big call. But you know what, Charlie? Here we go. Gold Coast Suns are going to make the eight. They will be in the middle six, but they will make the eight, and that is my lock of the year.
All right. Two bold locks of the year for the two expansion clubs. I just don't know about them. They're not top six. They're not bottom six. They're middle six. But I have no idea where they fall in that. I'm not as bold as you. I don't think they will make finals.
I think it's the Dimmer thing. I think this is this is what is good about Dimmer is that you suddenly look at – they were – in the mix for finals this year. I mean, slightly off, but they were kind of around. So he doesn't have to improve what they did this year that much to get them into finals contention, which is, I guess, what I'm thinking. And I know he's a good coach, and I think there'll be momentum from the start for them to have a really, they're pretty good up there. They're really tough to play up there. They beat some really good teams.
And in the Northern Territory, don't they play games there as
they're great. Yes. They're really good in the Northern Territory. So, I reckon, Gold Coast Suns make the finals for the first time.
I mean, it's funny. Like, if you look at the Saints last year, like, worst lists with a coach who's never won a flag, and Ross was able to motivate them. So, if you follow those metrics, triple premiership coach with an infinitely better list, like, he should be able to do it. But it's just that. It's just the Gold Coast of it all. I just can't believe until I see Will.
I know, but wouldn't it be amazing if our predictions for this season come true?
We'd have to shut the whole show down.
I mean, but also that GWS win the premiership and the Gold Coast Suns make the finals. Like, there'd be a certain contingent of old school football fans who would just find that so frustrating.
Final team for this episode is the Cats. Mm-hmm. Now, they're a curiosity, aren't they? Because they had such a underwhelming year as the reigning premiers last year.
Yes.
We know that their coach is Chris Scott.
Yes.
Of course. But their captain is Patrick Dangerfield.
Both of them, or is it just Patrick?
I'm going to say just Patrick. Are you going to say?
I think it's
dual
both.
Captains. Okay,
but I'm
no.
But
it's just Patrick Dangerfield.
Okay.
Best and fairest. Let's look at their voting system. Maybe this will help us. After each game, the senior assistant coaches review and rate each player's performance out of 10. Votes are polled in games where a player's performance has been deemed of a high enough quality by the coaching group. And unlike previous seasons, all matches are counted towards their final total, which I believe they shouldn't bury the lead. That's the intriguing premise. Like, in previous seasons, not all matches would count towards your total. Is that taking into account, so Tom Hawkins kicks six goals, but it's only against North Melbourne, so that doesn't count? What do you reckon's going on there?
So basically, in the old season, I think they used to have like a whatever it was cut off on how many games like it counted, and part of that was to like it made it easier for them to rest and rotate players, right? Because it, if you're only counting your best 18 games of the season or whatever, it's easier to convince somebody to have a week off, you know, for an injury or whatever it might be, play a different role for the team. So it's interesting that they've gone away from that being the system.
Do you think that was a get, like we discussed before, like contractually, to make it contractually fair? Like if you did have a triggered, like triggers in your clause, you got a top 10 finish or whatever? Because it's the only fair way to do it, right?
I think that you're absolutely right, Charlie. And it's interesting that they've decided to throw away that fairness and go with a completely different system.
All right, who do you reckon won their best and fairest last year? Who's their best player? I can't even think. Tom Stewart? I don't know.
I mean, Tom Stewart is a good, reliable guess.
But he got injured and suspended, right?
That's right. But as a general principle of guessing, Guthrie was back, right? Was Guthrie back?
I missed the start of the season. His brother played every game. But
Ryan Myers had like a really good season.
But not like, I mean, that was more of a meme than a really good season. I mean, the number one goal assist, I believe, was his season.
Number one goal assist of all time, right? Like in the competition, I think, was the – like he had a good season.
I mean, his greatest achievement last season was how angry his name made Jared Waitley. The association with that quote to Jared Waitley and Messi was that was the highlight of his year. I'm going to say I think it's not Paddy Dangerfield because he missed a bunch of footy.
Yeah.
Cameron started the year like the best player going around, but tailed off. I think it has to be Tom Stewart.
Old mate, the ruckman / steeplechaser / blitzarves. He always has like he's pretty reliable. He'd be top five. He's reliably top five blitzarves.
Okay.
Did anyone at Geelong have like a really good season? Like.
Nothing out of the – well, I just feel like they were all like in and out with injuries and suspensions and stuff. Yeah, no,
it's going to be some sneaky player who's played like every game and like managed to –
what about the other guy, the forward, the little dude who came from Adelaide, Stengel?
No, he had a great season last season and then had a disappointing season this season.
Okay. I'm going to say Tom Stewart. I'm going to just put my hat on that. What are you going to say?
I mean – yeah, or Blitzarves. That would be one of those two for me.
It was Tom Stewart.
Good.
Mark Blitzarves didn't crack the top five.
Is that right?
He did come in at sixth. Who were the other four players in the top
five? No idea. I have absolutely no idea. Graham Myers. Surely Graham Myers.
Yes, came in third.
Okay.
There's a player that there's a midfielder that we forgot about, hard nut midfielder who came in second.
Tom Atkins.
And I was gonna make a diet joke, but you got it. And then rounding out the top five in fourth place and fifth place, two players that we sort of mentioned in what is it called when you think about things?
Jeremy Cameron.
Yes, he came in at fifth.
And Patrick Dangerfield.
Nope.
Jeremy Cameron and Tyson Stengel.
This player's finish certainly gave me a Woody.
That hasn't
happened. I hope I'm getting the name of that singer right. It's Zach Guthrie. Woody Guthrie?
Guthrie, a singer, isn't he? Yes, but you thought that my initial like thought when you say Woody is going to be Guthrie, that my mind immediately goes to the Guthrie when you say Woody. Wasn't even like in my top, wouldn't have got votes in my, if I was ranking Woodies, I would have been like erections. That's immediately where I went.
Zach Erection?
Then it was Toy Story. So like I didn't even get to Guthrie until like three minimum.
Tom Stewart, Tom Atkins, Graham Myers, Zach Guthrie, Jeremy Cameron were the Cats' best players. Now, Tom Stewart won it by a fair distance. It's interesting where the Cats are at, isn't it? Because it feels like they just loaded up for that premiership. They got it and then everything just fell apart last year.
Yeah, but also 2 years ago, they were the best team in the competition. And to the point where they were so good in that grand final that everybody expected they were just going to come into the next season and roll over everybody. So what we've got to work out now is, did they need a rest after exerting all that energy to do what they did? But now that they've kind of had their rest season, they might be ready to go again. Because Cameron's still, his best. He's still one of the best players in the competition. There's still a lot to like about them.
And had to adjust to know Joel Selwood as well. That's like a huge kind of hole to fill.
And they still have to play. They play half their games in Geelong, right? Where they're not, it's not like it used to be where, but teams know they can win down there, but it's still pretty hard to go to Geelong and win. And so they're going to win a bunch of games. They're going to be near enough the finals. Like some of those, older players are definitely in the twilight, but you hope that some younger, newer players kind of step up to, feel that. I think conservatively, I think they're like a middle six. I can't see them. I know there's some people who seem to think they're going to be a bottom six, but I cannot see that. I don't think I roll the dice on them being top six. But it honestly wouldn't surprise me entirely.
I feel like this is a mini rebuild. I feel like they could do like a Swans of, 2019, 2020, where they sort of just like they wouldn't go as low as bottom six, but they'll just hover around the middle of the table, see what they've got. And they must have some like talent, they seem to have a great ability to identify and hide talent from the rest of the competition. Geelong Falcons products, they seem to just like, they never rate a mention, they don't get talked about, and then Geelong uncover a 200 game player. Really,
and they just keep luring people, down to Geelong. They're just like, how do you want to live
surf coast
do you
lifestyle.
You want to surf in the morning and have a mansion in Moggs Creek? We'll get down here.
Middle six for me as well, but I wouldn't be surprised if they made finals. It's gonna be an interesting season for these Swans and Geelongs and these power clubs that have sort of had less than stellar seasons last year. That is Two Guys One Cup for this week. Next week we'll be previewing the Bombers, the Pies, and the Dockers, the Bombers, and the Pies.
Okay.
We have all of our shows back in the Everyone Relax feed. New episodes coming out of Tofop, Willosophy, and Tofop with Friends. And Will, your husband, it's not Willogical. What's your tour called this year?
Will Legitimate. That's my own fault.
Will Legitimate.
They all sound the same, and it can get confusing for people, but it's a brand new show. It's called Will Legitimate. It is touring all over Australia, comedy.com.au.
And if you want to support the show, there's a link to our Patreon in the episode description. Thanks for listening. We can't wait for footy to start. Only a few more weeks or 2-3 weeks to go. I'm Charlie Clawson. No, I don't sign off like that. I say play on, not 15.
Ball.
Insightful, clever, or just well researched. We're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are Two Guys, One Cup. Listener.